Hidden treasures will always be special to Debbie and I, and Pastor Rick and his family, Brother Adam and his family, and Sister Dial, of course, and my good friend, Brother Dial. And I have a little office in the backyard. It's a shed. It's a 24 by 12, and it's sheetrocked and air and all that. But of all the things in life, I don't put them in the house, but I put them on the wall out there that I've ever got. The one I'm most... that is endeared to me is Hidden Treasures Assembly of God, 10 years being your associate pastor. And that ended in 2001. But we have a lot of good memories, a lot of special memories. And I'm so glad the church is going on under Pastor Rick and Pastor Shannon. And you got great pastors. And just stick in there. And God's got a lot of great things for you. Amen. And he is good. Proverbs chapter 4, and Brother Joe has some scriptures I gave him. But, you know, every person has their own, well, it's kind of like this. They have their own style of preaching. Well, my style is, when I was a young preacher, I read in the Bible where it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, Paul told the young Timothy. And so I really do try to preach the word. And so I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. I'm going to encourage you to take notes. You don't have to. It's not going to make me feel bad if you don't. But it's going to be gone from you if you don't write some of this stuff down. God's word is the only thing that really does good, right? Heaven or earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. And so I thank you very much. You know, I used to never drink water when I preached, but not too long ago I found out I really needed some, so I thank you for that. I might need it. But when Pastor Rick asked me to come, I started praying about what I should pray on, what I should preach on. And I had a hard time getting it. And then when I got it, the devil really fought me about it. And here's what a preacher learns. When the devil fights you about something, he don't want you to preach on that. So I really went after it. But I couldn't get it. And then when that happens, you go to part B. Maybe you got the wrong sermon. So I feel like I had the wrong sermon for this time. So the Lord gave me another sermon. And this is, I know I got the right sermon. And it makes you feel good to preach on the right thing at the right time. Amen. I want you to stand with me, please. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to preach through 19. But I don't want to stand for all that because... And I really like the rest of the chapter, but the Lord just instructed me not to go past 19, so I'm not going to. But if you allow me to, that'll be your devotions for tomorrow, tonight. Finish the chapter with what we cover today, verses 20 through 27. You finish that. So Proverbs chapter 4, written by Solomon. Hear ye children, and instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching, talking about the word. Forsake ye not my law, the word. For I was my father's son, I was David's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Don't you want to live? Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, wisdom, and this is what she'll do for you. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, I base my message on verse 7. Wisdom is the principle, the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. Lord, we thank you for all the different generations. And Lord, we know that one generation goeth and another cometh, but you are the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, you abide forever. Lord, help us to always please you. Now, Lord, open hearts that people can receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls, their minds, and their wills, and their emotions for the good of their life, the good of their family, the good of their future, the good of the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and tend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Forsake ye not my law. As my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now, one thing I want to tell you about is this. What is wisdom? Wisdom, very simply put, is the ability to use knowledge the right way. And this is a real simple explanation. But you have knowledge, it's raining. Now it takes wisdom to get out of the rain into the shelter. Amen? Some people know a lot, but they don't have wisdom. They don't know how to use what God has given them. Now one of the main verses in this book is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when you read the Bible, you get knowledge. But you need to pray. Because, see, prayer is one of the ways wisdom comes, James 1:5. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So you always ask. In fact, a good verse to think about before you start reading the Bible, Psalms 119, verse 18. Put that up there, my brother, if you would. You don't have that verse on that card. Psalms 119, verse 18. It says, open thou mine eyes, that thou may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You ask God to do that for you before you start reading. And the Holy Spirit will. And you see where he says, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Wisdom comes from prayer, it comes from the word, and it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ having him in your heart. Because I'm going to show you in a minute where he actually is wisdom. And if you have a relationship with him and you let him rule in your life and you read the word and you pray, you will have wisdom. Now, one of the reasons, especially when we're young, we need God's word to hide in our heart is Psalms 119, 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How will he? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is Psalms 119, 9 through 11. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And see, it says in John 14:26, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is the real teacher. If you learn anything today, it won't be because of me. It'll be because of the Holy Spirit. When he has come, Jesus said, when the Comforter has come, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things, now listen, to your remembrance. What sort of things I have said unto you. So when you read the word and you're fixed to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit is able to bring the word up and say, remember, I told you not to forsake wisdom, and you're fixing to do it. See what I mean? Now, you know, it's something how Solomon in 1 Kings 3, He had a dream, and the Lord told him, ask anything. You know, he's the wisest man in the Bible besides the Lord Jesus Christ. God told him in a dream, 1 Kings 3, ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you, when he became king. And instead of asking for riches and honor and the life of his enemies, God was impressed because he said, Lord, this is so great a people. I don't know how to lead them. I don't know how to go out and come in. Now, I'm a child. But he wasn't a child. He was about 20 years old. But what he means is he did not understand how to rule this people. As far as that goes, he had the mind of a child. He was lost. So God had impressed God that he asked. He said, give me, 1 Kings 3, verse 9, give me an understanding heart. Now, I looked that word understanding up, and this is what it means in the Hebrew. It means, give me a heart that I can hear. Give me a heart that I can hear you to rule this people. It says in John 10, 3 and 4, Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, us, my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name. And verse 4 of John 10 says, they know my voice. They won't follow the voice of a stranger because they know my voice. There are many, 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are many voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Voice of your husband, voice of your wife, voice of the Holy Spirit, even the voice of the devil. But Jesus said, you'll know my voice. And you'll follow me. Now, the definition of wisdom is this. I've already told you one. Knowledge rightly applied. It also has to do with the future. Usually something in the future. Like somebody says this. They say, pray for me. It's prayer request time. They say, pray for me that I'll know what to do about that house I'm trying to close on. Future. Pray for my son. He needs some help in his schoolwork because he's not. So help me to know how to help him. It's usually something about something in the future. It's knowledge rightly applied. It's the ability to make decisions today. This is important that you'll be happy with tomorrow. Amen? The ability to make decisions today that you'll be happy. How many know sometimes you made a foolish decision? We all have, haven't we? Now, I'll tell you this. This sounds crazy, but it sounds so simple. When a child is real small, you know how they learn wisdom? Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Wisdom. Now, there's something else about wisdom. With all thy getting. Now, see, this is the completed revelation of God. But there are people today that don't think God can talk to you unless it's through this. Now, he will talk to you through this. But they don't think he can. Well, they that are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, they are the sons and the daughters of God. He leads us. Now, listen. With all that getting of wisdom, verse 7, get understanding. You look that word up, and this is what it means. It means knowledge and wisdom. So God says, wisdom is the most important thing. So make sure you get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding. And you look it up and it says understanding. It means to comprehend. It means to understand the meaning. It means more knowledge and more wisdom, especially wisdom. And so to me, it's an extension of wisdom. It's a mixture of wisdom. And we go from here to the Lord speaking to you. You know, you may not hear God's voice, but you hear it in your spirit. The spirit of man, Proverbs 20:27, is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. In other words, all the inward parts of you. When you get saved and born again, the Spirit of God comes inside of you. Even before you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes inside of you, because Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you have the ability then, the Holy Spirit is in you, to know these things. For God, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now his light shines in you to illuminate you in the Word and to illuminate you to be able, through the Holy Spirit, to hear his voice. Now Jesus said in John 16, verse 12, to the disciples before he went to the cross, I have many things to say unto you, but you, in other words, many more, but you cannot bear them now. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, oh, it's so important to have the Spirit of truth in you, isn't it? Because you need to know the Spirit. You need to know the truth, because the truth will make you free. Amen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever hears from heaven, that shall he speak to your heart, and he will show you things to come. Wisdom. He shall glorify me, 16:14, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it. The Holy Spirit brags on Jesus. He makes Jesus more real in your life. The Holy Spirit is not to exalt people, it's to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, John 14:18, but I, through the Holy Spirit, will come unto you. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? Now, comes by the Word, comes by prayer, comes by discipline. Jesus, remember I told you, he is wisdom. So if you have him, and you let the kingdom of God and the king of that kingdom rule in your heart, you got wisdom. Now, it says, Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is as a man that finds a treasure in a field. And he sells everything he has, because this is so important to have that treasure, to buy the field. It says, Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things, the houses, the clothes, will be added unto you. But the principal thing is wisdom. Really? God's wisdom. That's the principal thing. When Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, Luke 17:20-21, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he said, behold, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. I got the kingdom in me, and I got the king in me. Glory! Yes. The kingdom of God, that prophecy this morning, that this world, the material things, are not near as important as what God has for you. The kingdom of God, Romans 14:17. It is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! When you lay down at night, you know your God is going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he's going to work out any problems you have. They're not your problems, they're his problems. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. Amen? Now listen. I said, if you was to read, and we don't have time, so we're not going to do it, but if you was to read Proverbs 8:22-35, in your Bible, it'll probably say something like this, the origin of wisdom. But Jesus is personified as wisdom in Proverbs 8:22-35. When I say personified, like he said, I'm the resurrection, the life. You have him, you have the resurrection. You'll never die. You have him, you have wisdom. Ephesians 2:14 says he is our peace. You have him, you have peace. You have the Prince of Peace. If you let him rule and reign in your life. Now, I like this a lot. 1 Corinthians 1:9. See, after you're saved, it's not over then. You need to have fellowship, right? Word, prayer, other Christians, right? Yes. God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to have fellowship with us. And then he says in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them that are called, Christ, the power of God, help me, and the wisdom of God. He is God's wisdom, and he's in my heart. Yes. And whom are hid, Colossians 2:3, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus. So you have him. You have that. Now I want to show you some things that wisdom will do for you. Just a few things in this place right here. Verse 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. Ah, she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. 1 Samuel 2:30, I will honor them that honor me. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now I want to show you, and young people, listen up, and older people, listen up. But a lot of times I think the younger people think we're mainly preaching to older people, but we're preaching to everybody, amen? I want to show you some things that's for all of us, but some of these things are especially to young people. I want you to flip over there to chapter 2. And for the sake of time, we're not going to read all these verses, but I want to show you some things. You see, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. That's in the Word. So if I'm looking for somebody, if I find a wife, if she's really a wife, I'm going to find a good thing. I mean, that's the Word. But now, here's the question that I need God to speak to me. Who is she? Yeah. Woo! I didn't see her name in here. Who is she and when is this going to happen? It happened for me. And he that findeth a wife, by the way, girls, let him find you. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Let him find you. Don't try to find him. He'll find you. Just be who you're supposed to be. Who can find, Proverbs 31:10-12, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he will have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now listen to this. On finding a mate, finding somebody. And if you're single in here, I know you have to think about this sometimes. Who am I going to marry? Or am I going to marry at all? Be single is a gift. But for most people get married. But look what this says in Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto what? Wisdom. And apply thy heart to what? Understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion, you're going to choose, shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And listen, ladies, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. He'll help you pick out the right man. Wisdom will help you do that. And then he explains how bad this guy is, 13-15. And then he talks to the men. He says, to deliver you from the strange woman. Because I want to tell you something. If you marry the wrong person, your life is going to be H-E-L-L on earth. If you don't have God's wisdom, and if you don't want to wait on him and have patience, and you go ahead and marry the wrong person. Yeah, God can change him, but that's not always it works. And listen, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Put that up there, Brother Joe, if you would. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light when darkness? There is none. And then if you read in Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 11, he told the children of Israel part of the laws that God gave Moses to give them, Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 11. He said, you cannot plant different kinds of seeds in your field or it'll be defiled. You cannot plow with a donkey and an oxen. You cannot wear different kinds of clothes, like a woolen and a linen. But see, when it comes to plow in Deuteronomy 22:10, you can't plow with an oxen and a donkey, but you could plow with two donkeys or two oxen. You know why? Because their foot strides are the same. But if you put an ox on one side and a donkey on the other side, the foot strides are different. And be not unequally yoked together. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so see, that yoke is doing like this and galling, always galling your neck. Because they always rubbing you the wrong way. Amen? Now look, they can be the right person and rub you the wrong way. Y'all just need to work that out. You know, people that say this, I'm looking for my soulmate. Guess what? There is none. There is none. They're not created. They're made. The two shall be one flesh. Becoming one flesh is the work. Becoming. You know, you're attracted to somebody because they think a lot like you think. And then you marry them and you find out they think a lot different than you think. But you know what? If you'll discover it, you can be a lot smarter person by learning everything they got, and they can be a lot smarter by learning everything you got. And along the way, you're going to throw away some of that stuff, both of you, that you don't need, and you're going to be a good person. You're going to be one together. Amen. Glory. All right. Let's go back to chapter 4. It says that she, verse 9, shall be to thine head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. She's going to be honor to you, and she'll to deliver thee. Now, a virtue, you know, it says in Ephesians 5:23 that the man's the head of the wife. But it says in Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. So treat her good, because she's going to make you look bad, or she can make you look, she can make you look good, or she can make you look bad. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh him ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. She can make you look a lot better than you really are if you treat her right. You're supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. Amen? You're supposed to nurture her, Ephesians 5. In other words, if you see anything in her, like maybe she lacks confidence, you need to tell her, you can do this. By the way, that was a good lesson this morning. Excellent Sunday school lesson. And you see, you're supposed to submit to the husband in marriage, but 5:22, Ephesians 5, but in 21 it says you're all supposed to submit one to another. She submits to your lead, but you submit to her need. Amen? It's a mutual submission. It all comes from wisdom. It all comes with wisdom. And then he says this in verse 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. They shall not be impeded. They shall not be in distress. And that word, S-T-R-A-I-T, means to be put in a straight, narrow place that you feel squeezed and you feel pressed. And it says, if you walk in the Lord, your steps shall not be that way. You'll always have a way out. Joe, you got this. Put Psalms 18, verse 19 up there. Psalms 18:19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He said, the devil thinks he's got you trapped in that straight place, but then God says, no, I'm opening it up for you. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You know why? Because he delighted in you? Because 37:4 of Psalms, you delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now look. Same chapter, verse 36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The devil thought he had me. He thought he had me in a tight place. But God enlarged my room. He enlarged my steps. He says this, when thou goest, I look that word up, it means to walk. When you walk, thy steps shall not be straightened, they shall not be in distress. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. That means that in the same word, you look up it up, that goest means walk and run. There's times that you're just going to walk through life, everything's going to be just the same old thing every day, but God's going to be with you. And when those tough times comes up, he's going to deliver you. But he'll also give you strength that when it's ready to run, that no matter how much of a load of life you have on you, you'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to do it. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. See, part of wisdom is prayer. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, I want to look at verse 13. Take fast hold. Aren't you glad I didn't preach on the whole chapter? Take fast hold of instruction. Woo! Now, listen close. Listen close. Take fast hold on instruction. You can't teach me nothing. Now, you may not say this, but how many people you know? You can't teach me nothing. I know everything. Well, you do. You know everything you'll ever know. Nothing else. But he says, take hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. The Lord resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now watch this. Put up Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction. Somebody's fixing to give you some wisdom. You don't want to listen, huh? You got your own way, right? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You want to be honored? Everybody wants to be honored. You better get humble. You better be teachable. And if you're always humble and you're always teachable, listen, going to stores in my career when I was a truck driver, I used to talk to people in the stores, would be unloading the truck, and I'd say, hey, you having a good day? Another day in paradise. You know, I mean, just you'd hear different things, and sometimes I'd get to witness to people. Sometimes I'd even get to pray for somebody. But this one guy told me one day, I'm going to tell you where that verse comes in. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I tell you, look at the opposite. Put up 13:10. This goes right with it. It's about pride. It's the opposite. It's about pride. Only by pride cometh contention. That's the root cause of all problems right there. Just like Lucifer, he fell out of heaven because of his pride. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is what? You tell me. Wisdom. God's wisdom. Anyway, this fellow had been with the company longer than me. Several years ago in Lake City, Florida, I was making a delivery. He started talking to me. Now, think about that. Before honor is humility. He started talking to me. He said, well, I messed up, Mike. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I just did something wrong. And he got himself in trouble. And he says, they want to transfer me or they want me to quit. So I said, well, where are they transferring you to? I thought, well, shoot, if they put you in another store, what you going to do, drive 10 miles? Then I got to thinking, no, this is Lake City. The closest store we got to that is quite a ways away. But they weren't going to do that to him. They were going to make it easy for him. He was in Live Oak, Florida, which is west of Lake City. So he was. They transferred him to Jacksonville, so he would have to drive 80 to 90 miles to work one way or quit. That's choice we're going to give you. Now, I know he didn't steal anything because the company I worked for was so strict. If you stole anything, you're fired automatically. For instance, a guy had been driving over 20 years, come out the back door one day, had a sandwich in his hand, didn't have a receipt, gone, period. No questions asked, you're gone. It's the best company I ever worked for, but very strict. If you lie, you're gone. They find you ever telling a lie, you're gone. If you're a truck driver and you see red lights flashing at a railroad track and the arms are not down, they're up, but them red lights are flashing and they've been flashing for about 20 minutes or an hour, it doesn't matter. You cross the tracks, you're fired. There's no discussion about it. If you cross the tracks, you are fired. So the company was strict. They are good, but they expect you to be what you're supposed to be. So I didn't ask him what he did, but lo and behold, he transferred to Jacksonville. And every time I came in the store where he was, they gave him a demotion. But he was on the trailer getting the truck drivers out of there because we're on a tight schedule. And he was encouraging the crew to get this driver out of here. Come on, let's go. Let's move. And he always had a great attitude. Drivers really liked him. I told him one day, I said, I named his name. I said, I really respect you. And I thought of that verse. And he was a Christian. Before honor is humility. Had a great attitude. He worked like that for about 3 years. They're building a new store out at Town Center, which is an upscale shopping center on the way out to Jacksonville Beach. Who are we going to put make the manager of that store? They make a lot of money, managers. Who are we going to put in that? Him. God's way up is down. Yeah. With a good attitude. Never heard him say nothing bad about the company. I know a lot of people have. I know a lot of people hit the street. I know they're probably not making half of what they used to make. Before honor is humility. When we're teachable, we make friends. Amen? We can make a lot of friends, right? And, you know, I put notes in my Bible all the time, and one of the notes I put about what is a friend. Now, some of you have probably read this. You may remember better than me, but when you are going through a tough time and you've forgotten the words of your heart, of a song to your heart, a friend can repeat the words back to you. A friend is somebody that comes to your funeral, never looks at their watch. But the best definition of a friend to me is in the Bible when Jesus said, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. But let's talk about laying your life down without dying. That's what I want to talk about. Proverbs 17:17. This is the definition of a friend. A friend, never forget it, a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity when you go through tough times. A friend loveth, say that with me, a friend loveth at all. How often does he love? Just when things are going good? What if you have an argument? I mean, it's a bad one. He loves anyway, right? I think before people that are married fall out of love, they fall out of friendship. A friend loves at all times. If you're a friend to somebody, be a friend. A friend loves at all times. And then when you're really a friend to somebody and you have friends, you know what can happen? You can sometimes give people good advice. Sometimes you can go to them and they can give you good advice. Put up 11:14 Proverbs. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, you know what a lot of times I think Christians do? This is what I think we do. Unintentional. Job put up 2 Corinthians 10:12. We are like horses on a track. We're all trying to get somewhere or at work. But there a lot of people at work are sinners. But there's Christians at work too. But we're trying to outdo each other. We don't need to try to outdo each other. Amen? Look at here, I can still walk off that as old as I am. It didn't even hurt me. It didn't even faze me. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not what?
Wise,
because God wouldn't do that, would he? But here is a verse that goes with that, that turns it completely opposite to the way it should be. Proverbs 27:17. Look what this verse says. See, we're working for the same kingdom, aren't we? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So we become much wiser and much smarter when we depend on each other. Amen. We're not jealous. We're not insecure. And sometimes that sharpening that iron, it probably hurts. It creates a little friction, don't it? And even if you have to tell a friend, put up, you don't have this, put up 27:6 Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A real friend will tell you not only what you're doing good, but what you're not doing good. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You're so good. You always do so good. We love you so much. Really? That's a flatterer. A flatterer gets lost in the fluttering. Amen? It's not real, man. It's not real. And then he says, God will be with you in your circumstances. I already talked to you about that. When you walk, be a true friend. But verse 14, when he says, enter not in the pathway of the wicked, Jesus said, Matthew 26:41, when he went, before he was going to the cross, he told the disciples, watch and pray. Could you not watch 1 hour? And he says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he says right here, enter not, verse 14, into the path of the wicked. Make sure that you pick good people. And he says, avoid it. Verse 15, pass not by, turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Because if they cause you to fall, they'll feel better about themselves. They must be pretty good too. Why did Cain kill Abel? 1 John 3:12. Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. He was mad about it. That was conviction, constant conviction. Pick the right friends. Make the right choices. Amen? 13:20 Proverbs. Hang with me about 10 minutes and I'll wrap it up. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see your son coming up in the yard with two drug people? He's in a lot of trouble. Pick good friends if you want to go somewhere in life. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now I want to show you something. We're not going to come back to here, but I want you to take your Bible and I want you to flip over to, and this is for everybody, but especially the young people. I want you to flip over to Proverbs 23, verse 29. Proverbs 23:39. I didn't read the verse right there in Proverbs 4, but you can read it for yourself about the wine of violence. When people drink, they get angry, don't they? They don't act like themselves. Make the right choices. Proverbs 23:29-35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? I was working the yard this week, and when I work in the bushes, I got a lot of bushes, a lot of trees, and these vines, they rip you. And my wife says, wear a long sleeve shirt, but I hate it because it's that would be wise. But my arms get all ripped up, but and a vine will grab you and just rip the skin. But see, I know where my wounds came from. These people don't, they got the stew beat out of them, and they don't know how they got so beat up because they were drunk. And who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed drink. Now, my note in my Bible by a Bible scholar says mixed drink could be drink with spices and drugs. Could be mixed with drugs. Now, that's interesting because I'm going to show you something in a minute. Look not upon the wine when it is red. Oh, it's pretty. When it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent. That serpent, the same one that was in Eden. The snake. Devil's a snake. And stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strength. See, you'll get all kind of confidence. Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? It's all a fake. It's all temporary. You coming down. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of the mast. Like this. Everywhere. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I failed it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Same chapter. Verse 20, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to what? Poverty and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. If you drink and you let drink control you, you will never have anything. You will never have very few people. You'll never have a house. You'll never have your own car. Your car's always broke down. It's always. And then another thing I want to show you. Go to Revelation 21, 8. Revelation 21:8. Now, I know nobody drinks in here. I don't really know why I'm showing these verses. Or nobody would. Amen? Amen. Amen. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See that word sorcerers? That word sorcerers comes from a Greek word, pharmakeias, which means magic. Somebody deals in magic potions, and it's where we get our English word pharmacy. And pharmacist and druggist. And in the Strong's Concordance, it says pharmacist, druggist, poisoner. There's a state that I heard on the news 3 weeks ago that it's a statewide epidemic where people are getting hooked on prescribed drugs. There it is right there in the Bible. They that seek mixed drink, don't do it. It's not wise. The devil will hook you. And believe me, the pill industry would like to get as many people hooked as they can because it's a big thing. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. Turn back to where we was. Proverbs 4. I want to read a couple verses and I'm going to close. I appreciate your attentiveness and your patience. Proverbs 4, talking about the people that don't know the Lord. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And look at verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Compare that with verse 18. I'm going to close in this verse. But the path of the just, this person that has wisdom, they're listening to the Holy Spirit. They're walking in the light as he is in light. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more. They're growing and they're growing unto the perfect day that they finally see where that light comes from, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it gives light to all that are in the house. Now, he says this in Matthew 5:16. Think about you improving your own life, but think about all the people that's watching you, that you're influencing. Let your light so shine before men, your life, every day, walking in wisdom, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You're planting a seed every day. If your children are not in church, keep walking in the light as He is in the light. Because believe me, your kids are watching you. Every time you have a problem, well, we got another bill. They're watching to see how you're going to handle it. When you walk through those tight places, they're watching to see when somebody makes you mad on the road and they shoot you a sign that tells you you're number one. They're watching to see how you react. Amen. Let's bow our heads and I'm ask Sister Shannon to come up. Listen. Just bow your heads and I want you to hear this. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Remember that treasure that man sold everything for to get? 2 Corinthians 4:7 says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure's the light. This treasure's God's wisdom to a lost and dying world. Wisdom for you. Wisdom for your children. Wisdom for your church. For the people at work. She's going to play, and I'm going to ask Pastor Rick to come, if he would, just stand down here in the middle. And I really want him to take over. And I want him to just do this part of the service.